Ahead and get started. Welcome to the March 2023 meeting of the Roanoke Valley Broadband Authority Board. This meeting is being held virtually under the permission of the Code of Virginia 2.2-3708.3 and the remote participation policy of the Broadband Authority. Ms. Ross, can you call the roll, please?
Sure, Mr. Chair. Every board member is required to state their location during this call. Mr. Talaferro?
Present from Salem City Hall.
Mr. K. Wood?
Present for the Roanoke County Office Building.
Mr. McAvoy?
Here, and I'm at the Western Virginia Water Authority's offices on 601 South Jefferson.
Mr. Cow?
I'm here, and it's at 2201 Road in Roanoke.
Mr. LaRue?
I'm here, 57 South Center Drive, Daleville. And if someone could let me in, says the host will let me in soon, so I'll switch off my phone.
There you are.
Thank
you. Mr. Perry?
Present from 3853 Ballyhead Trail in Roanoke.
Dr. Midkiff?
Present from 755 University City Boulevard, Blacksburg, Virginia.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mike, your volume was down a bit.
Okay. How's this?
It's still a little low. I can hear you, but it's not very loud. Is anyone else having an issue?
Yes.
All right, let me work on that.
Okay. If you need to say something, you might want to speak up till you get it worked out.
How's this?
That is much better.
Yeah, just for some reason, the microphone was defaulting to the wrong selection.
Thank you, sir. Next item on the agenda, we have two sets of minutes. We have the November meeting from last year, as well as the meeting that we had on the 18th. Hope everybody's had a chance to review those minutes. Any questions, comments, changes to either of the minutes? Hearing none, do we? I'm sorry.
Ms. Chair, I was just going to propose that we approve both minutes together under one motion.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have the audit review. Corbin, I thought I saw your name on the list somewhere.
Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. What I'll do is try to share my screen and kind of go over some of the information from the audit. The first thing I'll kind of mention, a hot topic this week, I've been getting a lot of calls about deposits and are we insured and that sort of thing. I did send Frank some information yesterday, and I think some of Mike's staff reached out earlier this week with some questions. In Virginia, we have something called the Security for Public Deposits Act, and I sent Frank an email that provided a link so you can double check your deposits to make sure they've been recorded. And he says, absolutely, they've been recorded.
Yes.
If anybody wants that link from Frank, you can just reach out to him and he can forward it to you for your respective jurisdictions to make sure you're covered under the SPDA. The follow-up question one of Mike's staff members asked was, what about money markets, things like that? I would just let everybody know that all money markets are not created equal. It's probably a good idea to look at the underlying investments in those money markets. Some are backed by Treasury, some are backed by certificates of deposit, commercial paper, that sort of thing. So to the extent you've got a lot of money in a money market, it might be a good idea to look at what the underlying investments are. At any rate, as I and I'll kind of pivot from that and move into the financial statements and the audit. The audit went well. We really had a good year, particularly given that, you know, Olivia retired during 21-22. In that pivot, we did have one issue, and that is just forgot to count inventory at the end of the year. So we do have a mark in our audit saying that, you know, inventory values weren't validated at the end of the year. All things considered, what we're seeing in transitions as we watch our accountants that are baby boomers transition to retirement, I think you did pretty well. So just having that one mark is not concerning to me. And I know it's something that's going to get fixed this coming year.
We've already fixed it. So just
it's already been fixed.
It's done.
But again, I'm not concerned about it. It's something we have to know, but I'm not really concerned about it. I'm going to share my screen and kind of walk you through the financial statements and we'll see how this goes. Okay, hopefully everyone is looking at have a table with some historical information. Okay, great. I saw a thumbs up. So I kind of walk you through, you know what all these things are. You know what cash is, receivables, inventory, and you can see the big jump in inventory there. That number is actually probably a little elevated from what it should be, but we just didn't have a good count at the end of the year to rely on. Non-current assets, you've got some restricted cash and some bond funds, debt service reserve funds. One new number you see here is called leases receivable. So you lease out really dark fiber is the big ticket item. And under a new accounting standard, though, the future lease payments are now recorded as a receivable. They're offset by a deferred inflow. It really doesn't have a big impact on your net position or your equity, but we do have to record that from now until the end of time. The report just on those leases receivable, the calculations came from about a 45-page report that we summarized information for you. So it was not an easy standard to implement this year. You actually have a small net pension asset. Your pension is through the Western Virginia Water Authority. They're carrying an asset right now. That measure is as of June 30th, 2021. It's always a year behind. Capital assets, lines in the ground, that sort of thing. Liabilities, I think everyone kind of knows what these items are, so I don't need to go through them. You do have leases payable, so the present value of future payments you're going to make under operating leases, we also record. So that's another number in there that's new because of GASB 87 this year. And that's the current portion of leases payable, what you expect to pay within the next year. And down below, we have the long-term portion, just under $150,000, which is going to be paid after 1 year. The difference between current liabilities and non-current liabilities is just that current liabilities you're going to extinguish within a year. You're going to pay them off within a year. Non-current are those liabilities that go out further than one reporting period. Deferred inflows and deferred outflows. Deferred inflows are treated like a liability and deferred outflows are treated like an asset. It's a little counterintuitive. Your deferred inflows are largely made up of those leases that I talked about earlier. And the reason the deferred amount is larger than the receivable amount is because a couple of your vendors, I think that you're dealing with, I think Cox and Lumos, if memory serves, actually prepaid their agreements for dark fiber. So it resulted in this large deferred inflow that gets recognized as revenue in future periods. At the end of the day, if we take all your assets minus your liabilities, we have a net position of about $8 million. Try to move that towards the middle of the page, or middle of the screen, I should say. Most of that is invested in your net investment in capital assets, which is just your capital assets, less any liabilities, bonds payable primarily against those assets. And then kind of how we got here. And I think particularly for this type of organization, it's good to look at this historical information to kind of see how you're trending. You can see operating revenues kind of grew over time. One thing to realize is because of that new standard, some of those operating revenues from leases get moved down, or at least a component of them gets moved down to non-operating revenue. And you can see that below. So keep that in mind. You really didn't have that much of a drop off from 21 to 22 in operating revenues. We've got this lease revenue that now is considered a non-operating activity. Operating expenses, you can see how they've grown over time. And net operating activity, that is before we take into account contributions from the local government. So non-operating activity, your local government contributions are down here just under $2 million for fiscal year 22. And then any capital grants that you receive or recoveries under capital purchases are going to be shown as constructions and aid a contribution. And then ultimately your net change in capital assets was about $1 million for the, or net change in your change in net position, I should say, was about $1 million during the year. And I'll stop there and see if there are any questions about the financial statements.
Corbin, just had a question. I think you answered it, but the lease revenues for the dark fiber, you said that was showing in two locations then.
You're right. It was considered an operating activity last year until we implemented this new accounting standard. And now it's a non-operating activity. So it gets shown down below in a different line. And a component of interest income is also going to be related to those leases as well. So it's not just this lease revenue. Now you essentially, when you have a leased asset, whether you're the leasee or the leasor, it's almost considered like a financed purchase of that asset. So you have an interest component and effectively a principal component. So the lease revenue here is the principal component under GASB 87.
So that those were over X number of years, and this is basically amortized over those X number of years.
That's you're exactly right. I could go to the report, but it's 45 pages long. I don't know if you want to go through all these calculations, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would like to do that this morning.
can I ask a question too? And you may have just touched on this and I may have gotten lost. So I guess the localities historically have contributed to both operating and to debt service. How are those broken out when I look at this?
On this summary sheet, those are just contributions and they're combined together. So the $1.9 million down here are just under $2 million. That's going to be both of those items.
Thank you.
It's a good, oddly enough, operating contributions for whatever reason are recorded as non-operating activity. And that's just how governmental accounting standards are.
Yeah, I mean, the part that's, I don't know if it's really confusing. We talk about it more when you hit the budget, but those were at least scheduled originally to end at separate dates. And it does make some financial differences to the authority. And again, that's probably more of a budget issue from your perspective, but they're related, but they're different.
Yeah, oh, sure. I understand. And there's nothing that says we couldn't break those out and separate them in the financial reports. We just, you just have contributions, non-operating contributions, debt service, non-operating contributions, I guess normal, if you will.
Okay. Thank you.
The other thing, and hopefully as I switch screens, hopefully you guys are seeing kind of the top of a letter here with my letterhead on it. I like the thumbs up. That lets me know I'm on the right track. So this is just our letter to those charged with governance that you all would have received. And, we really don't have anything to report in here. We do talk about some of the key estimates in the financial statements. If Frank or Miss Ross were challenging to deal with during the audit, we would report that to you here. They were not. I can tell you everything we asked for, they provided. We didn't have any issues there. So you get the boilerplate letter, but it does provide you with some information about key estimates of the financial statements and your more sensitive note disclosures and whatnot. So I'm not going to necessarily go through it, but I just want to point those things out that are covered in the letter. And I'll go back to the handout and I'll stop sharing my screen and see if there are any other questions for you. And I can share the screen again if there are, if we need to go over any of those numbers.
Any other questions? Corbin, thank you.
You're absolutely welcome. And if Frank has forwarded the information on the Security for Public Deposits Act to you guys, and anybody has any questions about that, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Or if anybody is concerned about the underlying investments in their money market accounts that their locality may have, you know, shoot me a quick email and I'm happy to dig into it and look up and see what you're dealing with. You know, I was surprised to see that some of the money markets out there do have a lot of certificates of deposits for various banks in them. So I didn't see any Silicon Valley banks, but there are certainly a lot of CDs out there, and some of them from lesser known banks. So if you do have concerns over something like that, let me know. I'm happy to help you.
Appreciate it. Frank, do we need a motion to accept the audit?
Yes, for 21-22. That's correct. Just to accept and receive it.
Do we have a motion to accept and receive the audit for fiscal year 22?
And 21. Yep.
This is Bob. I'll make that.
Thank you, Bob. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Keith. Any further discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Corbin, again, thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care.
Thank you, Corbin.
The next item is the treasurer's report, and it looks like we've got several financial statements. Frank, you want to go over those?
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. So we have November through the close of February. So what I'll do is the trend, we've been moving up as far as the percentage. We're at the point last year, we were about behind about 13 to 14 points. That's where we are right now. The good thing is we've got a good pipeline and we've got good things. We're actually projects that we're working on. So working with the team, I think we'll finish out the year well. Like we did last year. Historically for us, we build up and at the end we finish well. And because of some of the projects that we're working on, we've had some delays with customers on a few things, but we have important projects specifically within both the city of Roanoke and the city of Salem. Also keeping in with the county of Roanoke, there are projects that we're currently finishing up now. It'll be closed by the end of this month. Jim, he's working hard on those, and then we'll start billing for those here very soon. So good things in the pipeline. So we're confident that we're on track, and be glad to answer any questions. All right, Mr. Chairman, that's all I had as far as comments on that.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to accept the financial statements?
I'll move acceptance of the financial statements.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Okay.
Who was that on the second?
That was Richard.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And moving on to the proposed budget for fiscal year 24. Yes. Frank?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. There's been a request from several board members, but also we've heard you specifically back in the January strategic planning session. There was a concern as far as reducing the locality support and accelerating that. We've gone back, looked at the numbers. We've been fairly conservative in our budgets over the past, well, since we've started this. And we looked at areas where we could make some changes, do some cutbacks. And so what we were doing, we're proposing the locality support goes from 250 to 100, well on the way to getting it as low as possible from that standpoint. So we're proposing locality support for next year. We just brought everything up because we had it before, sometimes under non-operating. We've eliminated that. 100 per participating locality. We're looking at service revenue. We're rejigging that right now. It's a very technical term, rejigging, but we have a couple, the market's changing a bit. We have a couple customers in particular are having some trouble with competition, especially with the wireless versus the fiber optic installations and a few other things. So we want to adjust for that and prepare for that. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're meeting the numbers that were required. So we're proposing that we reduce the service revenue to 1.1 million. But what we're doing is, if you look under the non-operating, under installations, we're moving that up from 85K to 250K. Because we have a series of large capital projects that are on the books that are actually in play. And so we believe we're actually fairly confident. I think that's a conservative number, but we'd rather be conservative on that. So when we come down at the end of the day, we're still looking, we're looking at a good budget for next year. We're able to reduce the locality support immediately starting July 1st. We've also done a few other things as far as within network operations, taking a look at cost savings matter, or being more efficient from that standpoint. Brand management stays the same. Office expenses, or we have other things that are in there. We have some 1099s. We have support from Brown Edwards, who's doing our consulting, not our consulting, our accounting right now, which has been great, and a few other things. Richmond Message Management, we've decided to take that in-house and work in cooperation with Walls 360, which is our marketing firm. So I think that's worked out well. This year, we're able to save approximately between $60,000 and $70,000 as far as message management up in Richmond. And that was good because we were able to maintain things ourselves or within the people that we know or the partners that we already have. So I think for us, we're learning what the trends are over the past several years, and we've adjusted the budget accordingly. That's what I have, Mr. Chairman. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Hey, Frank, I got maybe a couple of questions. One deals with first, thank you for the adjustment on the local piece. I know there had been some conversations and a couple of different scenarios and stuff. I guess on that item, the locality support, I'm actually looking back at the FY23 number and the 290 number. Is that number accurate? Wouldn't that number have been higher? That's question number one. And then question number two is, when I look at the non-operating revenue locality support and it shows zero for this year, what is that in relationship to the other item, the locality support? So those are my two questions.
Yeah, so actually they're related, and thanks, Bob. So the way it had been broken out before, we took out locality support, took a percentage of locality support and put that on top under operating, or basically broadband revenues. The remainder of that was then put under non-operating revenues. So this is why you see locality support, the 459, 687 being removed. Because if you add the two together, if my math is correct, that should actually add to be, if you take the 290,313 from FY23 and the 459,687 from FY23, and you add those together, that should come out to be $750,000, if my math is correct. So this year, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, instead of the localities providing 250, we're reducing that. And where we're taking that out is we typically had that under locality support, the remainder of that under non-operating. And that's where that comes from. So you have to add the two numbers together, and that comes out to 750. This year, it's all going to be locality support, broadband revenues under there, 3 × 100 per locality support, and then 0 under non-operating revenues. And that's where the reduction is.
So then where does the debt service contribution from the locality show up in the budget?
Yeah. So typically for us, when we do this, as far as the debt service, all right, we don't, in our operating budget for FY24, we do not show the debt service historically. Yeah. If you'd like us to do that, that would be fine. But historically, we have not done that.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that, so I think I understand all the show here is purely the subsidy, for lack of a better term, just being calculated in different ways. And then there's the debt service piece on the side. Okay.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason, just a little rationale behind that too, in the, well, I'll stop there. I think that's good. That's enough rope. Very good.
Any other questions, comments?
Yeah, Frank, you made a comment at the beginning on the revenue piece that you're seeing some competition wireless. Are you saying that you're seeing people using wireless options instead of fiber for things like backhaul?
Yeah, actually, some of our customers, in particular, our larger carrier customers who are in the wireless space, are having trouble. They're having trouble both as far as competition and also speed and delivery. And so those who are able to deliver fiber optic, basically ground-based services, are starting to penetrate into their market, especially with expansion of the network. And that's what we're seeing. So it's just more from a market assessment standpoint. The wireless is still very good, depending on where it's being located. For those who are strictly in that business, depending on how their business model is, they're starting to run into some trouble. We're not running into trouble as far as competition, but some of our customers are, and we're trying to work with them on that.
Any other questions?
So I guess I'm still, from a revenue standpoint, then, you know, you're showing this reduction. Let's see, I guess you reduced the locality contributions by 450,000.
No, that's correct.
Yeah. And obviously that has an impact on the on your bottom line revenue. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to, you're actually projecting just an overall service revenue reduction. You just don't think you'll make up.
Yeah, so we're basically the service revenue, we are projecting a reduction in that, but we also see an increase under the non-operating revenues as far as installations for capital projects. So there's a balance for that. We're seeing kind of how these things will be able to offset each other. So at the end of the day, our bottom line is still going to be good, but it's going to be allocated a little bit differently. So we're adjusting for some changes within our market, in particular with a couple of our customers. We'll make that up, but right now I like to play, I like to be conservative on it.
Yeah. But I mean, that installation is going to, that installation number is going to installation of a new service, right? It's not necessarily free cash that you can use for your paying your operations expenses. So
actually it is, because when we do these projects, we have a revenue margin that's built into these. So this is just not straight. Here's a project, we get paid. We also use it as a source of revenue from that standpoint, but we want to move it down into the non-operating under installations, because that's a better place for it because of the type of project. If the board would prefer us to move it back up, we'd be glad to, but I think this is a better reflection of where, how the business is headed.
No, it's fine. I'm just trying to understand the, I guess I'm just a little concerned about the reduction in operating revenues. Just want to make sure that I understand how that's occurring. So.
Yeah, that's a good question, because when we went through this a couple of times, we were thinking, how do we reflect this? Is this a better reflection of how we do our revenues? Now, what we could do, if you prefer, we could, under the service revenue, we could break it out, and we could basically, we could bring up installation, our project or capital projects, but the capital projects we make margin on when we're working with partners. So it just depends on, historically, this is where we placed it. If you'd like us to move back, that's fine. But I think this was easier for us when we were looking at how the business is run, looking back as far as how we make our money and what category it falls under. So that's why we did it this way.
Now, I think if I understand what you're saying, you're saying this is akin to what we would call an availability fee for new connection. So, so it's probably in the right location.
But, yeah. That's why we're going back and forth, and how do we address this? So good questions. I appreciate that, Mike.
Any other questions, comments? Do we have a motion to approve the fiscal year 24 budget?
Mr. Chairman, just before we do that, we have another workshop coming up, and I'm wondering, you know, if there's something comes out of that or changes coming out of that, maybe, you know, do we want to approve the budget today, or do we want to wait for that workshop in case there's any other additional activities that come out of that?
Well, I think we certainly could amend the budget following the meeting in May. I think discussion amongst the localities about the subsidy probably would be one of the topics that we talk about. And also, I think it's worthwhile to have the discussion about the potential of a business development person on staff, which likewise could impact the operating budget. But I think we could entertain those amendments following that meeting if we have further changes. This would at least allow staff to start planning as we move forward toward the next fiscal year.
And Mr. Chairman, okay. I'm going to be addressing the business development position and also what we call a capital sinking fund in the next couple of slides, because that'll be for discussion in the May. Just for additional information to show you what staff is thinking here as far as how we're planning.
But it's certainly up to the board. If everyone would rather wait, we certainly could do that.
It's fine. I just want to make sure we weren't locking ourselves out for additional discussion there. But I'll move approval of the budget.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Richard. Any further discussion? Ms. Ross, can you call the roll, please?
Mr. Taliaferro?
Aye.
Mr. Kay Wood?
Yes.
Mr. McAvoy?
Yes.
Mr. Cowell?
Yes.
Mr. LaRue?
Yes.
Mr. Perry?
Yes.
And Dr. Midkiff?
Yes.
Motion carries. Sorry, I got to get back to the agenda. Project updates. Frank.
And let me share my screen. And Mr. Chairman, we did make sure that all the updates in Zoom were proper this time, so it will work. So we should be good. All right. Let me do this real quick. All right. All right, let me switch. Can everybody see the full page screen? Good. Yay. Very good. It's always once burned, twice a fool when it comes to Zoom. So thank you very much. All right. So going right ahead, I wanted to follow into that and thank you for the questions, both from Mike and from comments from Jay and the board as far as the budget. So one of the things that we'll be taking a look at right now, especially based on the Treasurer's report, and that is, let me just move a screen here real quick, is that the revenue is lagging, but the pipeline is solid. Historically, this has been, we've talked about earlier, we've had some issues with project delays and then changing markets, and we've talked about that. We're seeing a very interesting change, and Mr. McAvoy, Mike was talking about this earlier with me, the wireless service providers versus the fiber optic service provider. There's a change in the marketplace, and it's starting to impact in different ways as far as who's getting the edge on whom. It's been interesting from a marketing standpoint for us being in the middle of the market. The team is addressing customer challenges, more importantly, market development growth. Excuse me. Part of the thing here is that we've been working specifically with Wallace 360 and making sure that we're able to understand where the market is and what are the trends. And this is, again, this reflects our budget, being able to address some of the changes where we see projects happening and where the revenue stream is going to occur. We're bullish on the revenue stream It's more of how do we break up the market and adjust to it as it changes. We're adding internet and dark fiber customers now, which we talked about. We have a good pipeline. Some members of the board had asked me for some information before, and it was good because it helped us to make sure that we understood what our pipeline was, what the addressable market was, and are we doing our market research correctly? And so far, so good, but it takes many people working together. So I thank the team. I thank the board because we're getting good information. Recently, one of the things we've executed a strategic fiber optic and conduit agreement with major providers. This is already impacting our ability to get into areas where our cost of construction is going down and our ability to access is increasing, especially in some of our smaller metro areas here within the serving area. So we have now partners utilizing our spare conduit, utilizing our dark fiber, and that's growing nicely. Following on to that is as we grow, we're working with Wallace 360, what we call it's a near network prospect campaign. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So near net, for those who are not familiar with, is basically how close is your network to the building or to the facility. And we're looking at that and not looking at, but we're also executing a plan. And then we talked about before, and Mike was, Mr. McAvoy was talking about this under the non-operating revenues. This is where we're adjusting it. We have major network infrastructure support projects, which we are providing, which we make good margin on. So it's a part of our business that's growing in addition to the regular service. So the bottom line for us, the state of the business is very good. We're just going to make sure that we're sharp and paying attention to the changes in market. All right, let me go on the next slide. All right. So we talked about just a minute ago about the near network prospect campaign. So what that translates into the industry, near net or off net. Off net is where you really have to extensively build to a location. Near net is you're within the block, you're within, in this case, we're saying 200 to 500 feet of an existing fiber network or near, as we said, near net. We're working right now on developing a service package for what we call easy to grasp sales. And also translates into what's our 30-second or 60-second elevator pitch to a customer, but really more importantly, with a developer, we're working with several key developers across the region on very large projects. Some of you are directly involved in this, and also we've been asked to participate, so we thank you for that. That's a good team effort. And then we're going to process right now developing and sending out collateral, both on the mailing side, but also delivering it to drive general awareness. So I think this is one thing we've talked about before is where are we taking a look at the business development person? And that's an important thing to talk about in May. How do we address that? Who, what type of individual is that going to be? What's our willingness to be able to invest? A couple of key questions. The other thing is we're following right now, taking a look at the high, what we call high priority project opportunities. But we use a forecasting tool. It's like Salesforce.com. Some may be familiar with that. But really, it's called PipeDrive. And we work with that. It takes a look at forecasts and opportunities and projections and margins. It's a tool we've worked with for several years. And then the key to this is, I think Matthew Chauncey is on the line here from Wallace 360. We're working on a campaign to plan and execute, and they've been great to work with. So let me go on to the next slide. So when we talked about the FY24 proposed budget, you know, we heard from localities and we reduced it. We've done it. That's a significant thing, but that impacts how do we address our budget. So the good thing is it's reflecting the budget. We've been able to address those decreases of support, but at the same time, we've looked at our budget very carefully, and we've previously talked about that. And also, we've talked about the addressing revenue expectations based on market conditions, because we got to make sure that we, as we grow, we continue to grow, that we're identifying the right markets as the market changes. And this is why the comment was made earlier about some of the wireless carriers versus the wireline or the fiber optic. There's a market dynamic that's changing that still hasn't been sorted out, but it's starting to impact some of their businesses. And then we talked earlier about the May 11th board meeting. It was a great lead-in from the board members. Thank you. As far as discussing things in more detail, understanding the business development lead, but really what is that position? And then as part of that is to take a look at, and this was mentioned several times since I've been on with the RVBA, we have a sinking, to create a sinking fund. So that maybe be a specific capital project fund that the localities may want to contribute to, or we can or we create. So there's a specific project that needs to be addressed and provides basically the seed money to go after a larger project. This also feeds directly into our ability to do business development. And whoever that person is needs to be able to have enough, I would say, arrows in their quiver to be able to go after targets, be able to make commitments, and then be able to deliver, because that establishes the credibility of these larger projects. So for us, we think we have great days ahead. We're marching and we're marching forward, and we appreciate everybody's support. It's been between COVID and everything else, it's been an interesting couple of years, but yet we're here and we're growing and we're adding good customers to the base, and we thank everybody for their support. So I'm going to back out of screen sharing here and bring this back. So, and let's see, I'd like to answer any questions from anybody here on the board or anybody else.
Frank, not so much a question as maybe a request for the May workshop sure. The meeting we're going to have. And you may have already provided this to us before, but you going through that sparked this this thought in my mind. So, you know, you talked about in the budget process as well as in this, that there are these projects kind of in the pipeline that you anticipate generating additional revenue, presumably right. for the 25 budget. So would you mind, for that meeting, showing us kind of like maybe a 3-year projection of both revenues and expenses? Because I realized to achieve some of those revenues, we're going to need some additional expenditures. And, you know, in addition to kind of those projections, maybe some accompanying data or narrative that kind of back up why you're making those projections. I think that would be helpful. I know we always look kind of in the next year, but in this case, looking out a little bit further, I think would be beneficial. And again, you may have provided some of this previously. And if so, if we can just have that for that meeting.
Well, I think part of the thing is what we need to do is we have projections and things like that. But I think what we need to do is put it into a format. I like to call it digestible chunks, where it's easily readily understandable. So we'd be glad to do that. Matthew from Shaughnessy from Wall Street 60 and Bob Peake and I are working on developing the deck, the strategy for the next meeting. We've already started that process. So we'll add that into it and make sure that's a key ingredient. That's a great suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions from the board that I may be able to ask? Answer, I should say. That's a Freudian slip. Thanks. All right, Mr. Chairman. That concludes my part and the update.
Thank you, Frank. And that wraps up this meeting. Our next meeting will be another mini retreat or work session, so to speak, on May the 11th. Frank, have you picked a venue for that yet?
Right. So the venue is going to be, it's a luxurious resort at 601 South Jefferson, Suite 110. It's going to okay. be our offices. We're going to do that. We're actually going to start at, we're going to keep this time limited because it's, you guys have very busy schedules and we're respectful of the time. So we're going to start at 9:30 and we're going to wrap up by noon at the latest. And we're also, we're going to provide lunch and also some light refreshments in the beginning. So that'll be there. So option, the lunch will be provided if you have the time to stay and eat. And so we'll keep it short and sweet and to the point.
Well, I could see the reflection of your budget cuts in the venue.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. The McDonald's is having a sale, so it's good. It'll be great. it's day old McDonald's. It's a great price. Yeah.
RVBA conference room and happy meals. There
yeah,
you go.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for being here. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you on May the 11th. This meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thank you all. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay. Bye.